us to this hour where we can worship Thee. We know it's in a different manner, which we normally would do, a meeting in Your house, but Lord, in our own homes today, we pray that You would bless those who gather. And we pray, Father, that Thy Word will be open to our hearts, that we might receive it with meekness, that we might worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. The psalm and hymn you will hear are from former services in our church. We're joining in the singing now of Psalm 122. You can turn it up in your own hymn book at home on page 120. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me, Jerusalem within thy gates, our feet shall standing be. Psalm 122. Together in prayer, let us all pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for this, the Lord's Day, this day set aside for the honour and for the worship of Thy holy name. Thou hast told us in Thy Word to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The 6 days shalt Thou labour and do all Thy work. But this is a day set aside for the honour of Thy holy name, hallowed unto the Lord. And we pray that, O God, Thou wilt bless our time together around Thy Word today. We pray that it may be a means of instruction and a means of blessing to each one of our hearts. Meet the need of our church family today. We give Thee thanks for every answer to prayer that Thou hast given in the past days. We thank You for helping those who are lonely, for encouraging those who have felt discouraged, for uplifting those who are downcast. We thank Thee, Lord, for comforting those in sorrow, for helping those that have experienced sickness. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt draw near, that Thou wilt give grace and help even through this time. We pray that the peace and presence of God will be with the church family and the wider community, right across our land and across this island, across our nation and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Meet the need, Lord, of each one. Lord, we give Thee thanks for all Your mercies that have been demonstrated even in these days that are so challenging across the world. Father, we thank you for helping even governments with decision making, health services, with all the services that they provide. We thank you for doctors and nurses. We thank you for those who work in care homes, those who work in care in the community, those who are key workers, those, O God, who are doing those essential jobs that are keeping things running as far as our communities are concerned. And Father, we do ask of thee today, you'll take our thanks for all thy goodness. Remember those, O God, in our own church family who have experienced sorrow. Continue to remember the Foster family and their loss. Remember also Gemma Roy and the loss of her grandfather. We pray that thou wilt comfort those today who need it at this particular time. We pray, O God, for that family too in County Antrim, experiencing that tragedy during the week. We pray, O God, for comfort for that father that's left bereft of his wife and daughter, sitting at the bedside of his other daughter. We pray that thy healing touch will be upon his other daughter at this time. And Lord, that thy comfort will be the portion of this family in these days of need. Think of this special prayer request from Uganda. Pray for Danielle. We pray for thy healing touch. We pray for the intervention of God at this time in this situation. And Lord, that thy touch of healing will be upon her body, restoring her to health and strength, even at this hour. So we commend, O God, the work of God to thee today across the world. Bless in all our congregations and everywhere the gospel is truly preached. And across this world today, men and women will hear the good news of salvation and brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, bless thy word to our hearts this morning. We pray that it may be with power, it may be with blessing, and may be to the salvation of souls and to the reviving of thy church, and to the restoration of those who are backslidden. So bless us in these days. Bless our government, all the decisions they have to make, our health services and all their decision-making too, and all their care that thou wilt undertake. Give wisdom and guidance. Give us patience too in the situation, knowing that God is in control of all things. He is the sovereign ruler over all. If it is your will at this time to stop this pandemic, to stop its spread, O God, to provide a vaccine or a means, O God, whereby it can be treated, we leave all these things with thee, knowing thou doest all things well. In Jesus' name, we ask these things and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Our reading is taken from Colossians chapter 1. And perhaps you'd like to turn to that portion of God's word today. We're reading Colossians chapter 1 and reading from the opening verse of this scripture. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness,
and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of His inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word. Now, boys and girls, we've been looking at the story of Elijah in the Old Testament there concerning the Lord directing him to go to the brook, and there the Lord refreshed him and the Lord fed him by means of the ravens. And then the Lord directed him on to this place called Zarephath. And of course it was a considerable distance away, but the Lord led him to this particular place. And there the widow woman sustained him. God had commanded Elijah to do these things, and he was obedient, boys and girls. And so you and I are to be obedient to the word of God. The Lord commanded the ravens to feed him. The Lord commanded that this widow woman should sustain him. And so it was that she sustained him. And the barrel of meal didn't waste, and the cruse of oil did not fail, as far as that widow was concerned. Though she had little, yet God, in a miraculous way, provided for Elijah through this widow woman. So God provides for her every need, day by day, boys and girls. And we ought to thank Him for all the blessings that He gives to us. But then something tragic happened as far as this woman was concerned. She had only one son, just her and her son there living in that particular place. A terrible tragedy took place. This widow's son fell sick and he died. An awful tragedy. You could hardly imagine, boys and girls, what this widow felt like at this particular time. She was filled with sorrow. She was filled with grief at the loss of her son. Having provided for Elijah and having done all of this, yet this to happen to her. A terrible tragedy. And sometimes in our lives, boys and girls, there are terrible things happen in our families, in our family situation. And we hear of tragedies in society, in this world in which we live. People who are taken by the hand of death. A terrible tragedy took place here. But then it was a terrifying trauma for this woman. She was terrified in this situation. She was traumatized by her sorrow and by her grief, boys and girls. She didn't know what way to turn, or what way to go. And she cried out, as is understandable, in great bitterness of heart at this particular time. But boys and girls, though there was a terrible tragedy here, and though there was a terrifying trauma for this woman, yet there was a terrific triumph, because God intervened through the prayers of Elijah. Elijah prayed for this boy, how it died, and God was pleased to raise him to life again. God was pleased to replace death with life. And you know, boys and girls, that's what the Lord has done for us, provided for us life in the place of death, because we are dead in our sins. The Bible says we're dead as far as our spiritual life is concerned. But thank God, He has given us life. And that life is provided in Himself. The Bible tells us that the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and He was able to present the son to the mother again. And He said, "See, thy son liveth." You can imagine the joy that replaced the sorrow in the heart of that woman at that particular time. Her son was living. And she gave glory to God. The woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." So God answered prayer. And God did a wonderful thing, a miracle in the life of this lad. And God can do a miracle in your life today. The miracle of His salvation, boys and girls. If you will open up your heart to Jesus and become a child of God, even by faith in Jesus. You pray that little prayer, "Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, take all my sins away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." May God help you to do that, boys and girls. And we'll try and have a little quiz on next week, boys and girls, so that you can remember the story, and then you'll have opportunity to answer the questions at home. We're going to now have our chorus this morning, Wide is the Ocean. We'll play through a couple of times, so you'll have opportunity to sing with the music at home. Welcome you all, as we have done already, to our service. But just by way of making some announcements at this particular stage of our service, tonight at 7 p.m. we trust you'll join us again online for evening service, and you hear the ministry in song from the Kingdom Heirs, again from a previous service, and of course a testimony from our sister Kathy Roy, and we'll bring God's word in the gospel tonight at 7. Do pray for that service, and pray that God's word will go forth with power. You'll be able to share the fact that it's on with others in the congregation and beyond for this evening. Thanks to our sound team again for all their help through this time. We appreciate that in the Lord's name. And then Tuesday at 8, do remember, please, the season of prayer in our own homes. And please try to remember this and meet for prayer around God's Word on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And services next Lord's Day, again online, at 11:30 and 7, unless you're informed otherwise. There may be some changes. We don't know in the incoming week, but it'll certainly be online next Sunday morning anyway. Do watch our Facebook and WhatsApp group for any changes. And we'll try to text others that aren't on these to let you know what's happening. Could I say also that David and Louise and Heather Foster would like to thank all those who sent messages of sympathy during the recent bereavement by text, by cards, by telephone calls, etc. All your thoughtfulness and prayers are greatly appreciated by them in this their time of loss. And continue to pray for this family. Also remember Gemma Roy, who lost her grandfather during the past week and was buried yesterday. Do remember Gemma and the family too in your prayers at this time. Do remember also the time of prayer this afternoon. Each Sunday we ask people to pray between 2 and 3 o'clock and to meet before the Lord and to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let us come to the Lord now in prayer, please. Let us call upon the Lord's name as we turn to God's Word this morning. Let us all unite together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we turn to Thy precious Word this morning. We pray for Thy blessing upon us as we meet together around the precious Word of God. We pray that it will be a time of richness to our souls, a time when we are edified and strengthened in our most holy faith, and we're drawn closer to the wounded side of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that Thy presence will be with us. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Paul was a great letter writer. He wrote letters right throughout the New Testament. In fact, they said that 2/3 of the New Testament consist of Paul's epistles or Paul's letters to the various churches and also to individuals, his letter to Romans and 2 letters to Corinthians, to Galatians, to Ephesians, to Philippians, and here in Colossians as we've read in our Bible reading this morning. And of course, 1 and 2 Thessalonians and Hebrews. And then to individuals, he wrote 2 letters to Timothy and to Titus, a letter as well as one to Philemon. And so Paul was a letter writer, and how intriguing are these letters, and how interesting they are, and how instructive they are as well. And you know, letter writing used to be something that was very, very compelling as far as people were concerned across this world. They wrote letters in decades that were past as a means of communication with their family and with their friends. I remember when we lived in the country, my mother used to be always looking out for the postman to bring letters from family. My 2 sisters were working away from home, and my brother was away from home. She was always waiting on those letters arriving so that she'd get an update as to how they were doing. Letters are so important. And of course, while today we have other means of communication, yet it is interesting to notice in recent times, people who couldn't reach their loved ones were writing letters to them again. It's amazing how the circle goes round again, isn't it? And here, as we look at Paul's letter to the Colossians, we consider this man, Paul, of course, the founder of many churches. And he was mightily used of God in the salvation of souls, the various places where he ministered. And the Lord was pleased to establish through the instrumentality of Paul the Apostle many churches. Now Colossae was a celebrated city of Phrygia in Asia Minor. It was in the southern part of that province, nearly directly east of Ephesus, north of Laodicea, and nearly west of Antioch and Pisidia. And the gospel was first preached in Phrygia by Paul and Silas, accompanied by Timothy. Acts chapter 15, verses 40 and 41, and Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, and also verse 6, will indicate that. It is said that they went throughout Phrygia, which means doubtless that they went to the principal cities and towns of that particular region. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 23, it is said that Paul visited Phrygia again after he had been to Philippi and to Athens and Jerusalem and Antioch. He went all over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. It is indeed expressly said of Paul and Silas that they ministered to various peoples in these regions. It's not expressly said that they went to Colossae, but as this was one of the principal cities of that region, there's every reason to suppose that they preached the gospel there. And Paul was, in effect, preaching the gospel to the Colossians. He mentioned it here in chapter 1 and verses 21 to 25. He talked there and he said, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister." So you can see from this that Paul did minister to these people. He did bring the word of God to them. And the salutations at the end of the epistle to the various persons at Laodicea and Colossae show that he was personally acquainted with them there. This epistle is believed to have been written at Rome when Paul was a prisoner there. And at about the same time, the epistle to the Ephesians and the epistle to Philemon were written. It is one of the prison epistles that Paul wrote. That this epistle and the one to Philemon were written about the same time is apparent from the fact that Epaphras is mentioned in both as being with the apostle and joining in the salutation. Colossians 4 verse 12 and Philemon verse 23 indicate that. The epistle to the Colossians bears internal marks of having been written at Rome when the apostle was prisoner there. Chapter 1 verse 24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you." An indication of where he was at that particular time and what he was enduring. Again, chapter 4 verse 18 of Colossians, "Remember my bonds," said Paul. He was bound at this particular time in prison. If this be so, it is not difficult to fix the date of this epistle with some degree of accuracy. It would be about the year 62 that this particular epistle was written. Doctrine has more place than practice in the epistle to the Colossians. There's a marked resemblance between it and the letter to the Ephesians. A prominent element of both, as well as of Philippians, being the apostles' insistence upon our union with Christ. He emphasizes this, our union with Christ, again and again. The people, as having been dead and risen again in Him, and the necessity for holding fast the head, who is Christ. Chapter 2, verse 19. And the subject of the book has to do with our freedom from the elements and rudiments of this world. What those elements are is sufficiently explained by the term ceremonialism, the rites and ceremonies of religion as distinct from Christianity. And hence Paul's earnest admonition against a return to such, whether it be Jewish or others. He emphasized the fact that they must be in Christ. There must be an emphasis upon Christ and upon their union with Him. And practically it is to say that He is not sufficient, and something more is needed to be added to Him. Some ordinance is wanted to make it quite complete. But as the Apostle points out, we died with Christ. And certainly ordinances are of no use to dead persons. In this epistle, all practical holiness is shown to spring from the holding of true doctrine. And our life is the outcome of that belief. And then our standing being complete and perfect in Christ, we cannot grow in the standing, but we can grow in the knowledge and the experience and the enjoyment of it. And Paul said here in Colossians 3:11, Christ is all and in all. We are made full in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 10. The Apostle Paul said this, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Complete in Christ. There is a fullness in Christ, dear folks. That is all that we need. We are complete in Him. Warren Wiersbe, on one occasion, was waiting for his flight to be called. He was approached by a young man who wanted to sell him a book. One look at the cover told Wiersbe that the book was filled with Oriental myths and philosophies. And Wiersbe responded to the young man. He said, I have a book here that meets all of my needs. And he reached for his briefcase and took out his Bible. The young man responded, oh, we're not against the Bible. It's just that we have something more, and it makes our faith even better. Wiersbe responded again. He said, nobody can give me more than Jesus Christ has already given me. And as he opened his Bible at the book of Colossians, the young man disappeared down the corridor. We need nothing more than Christ. We don't need any add-ons. We are complete in Christ, as Paul says here. And we can sum up the message of this letter or this epistle, this book of Colossians, as the supreme glory and dignity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Chapter 1, verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, that is Christ, might have the preeminence. And dear friends, we see the preeminence of Christ in this epistle to the Colossians. The key words of this epistle are found in these verses. If you want a key verse, you could look there at chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I suppose we could divide this epistle of the Colossians basically into two main sections. First of all, we have the doctrinal section. Chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 3. And then we have the practical section. Chapter 2, verse 4 to the end. You see, we must understand that all doctrine that is taught us in the Word of God must be lived out in the light. There are some people who are so taken up with doctrine, it becomes something abstract to them. Something merely of knowledge, but not something lived out in the life. How important it is that we live out God's Word, the teachings of God's Word, the doctrine of God's Word in our lives from day to day. Let us come this morning to a more detailed look at this book of Colossians as we consider the theme overall, considering Colossians. First of all, I want you to look today at the authorship of this epistle. Look at verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle. And of course, Paul is the author of this book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy man, the Bible tells us, moved by the Spirit of God, wrote the Word of God. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned this epistle along with many other epistles, as we have said. You think of Paul, you think of the past of this man. He was a persecutor of the Church of Christ. In his testimony, on a few occasions in the Acts of the Apostles, he spoke about the fact that he persecuted the Church of God. He made havoc of the church. He incarcerated the servants of God. We read in Acts chapter 7 that he consented to the death of Stephen. We can also consider the fact that God met him in a miraculous way. As he was on this mission of death, as far as the Christians were concerned, God met him in a miraculous way, and he was gloriously saved on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9. And his life was completely transformed in a moment of time. He became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And from that experience, he could write to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, he had experienced a radical change in his life. He was never the same again from that moment, having experienced the new birth. Let me ask you today, have you had this experience? Have you been born of God? The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There wasn't a more religious man than Saul of Tarsus. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, he spoke about that. The book of Philippians in the 3rd chapter. He talked about being circumcised the 8th day, verse 5, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Here's a man who had all this religion. And yet he hadn't Christ, but then he met Christ. Or Christ met with him. And he had this glorious encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. And thank God you can have an encounter with Christ today. You can be saved. You can trust in the Savior. Even this very moment. You can call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We think about the authorship of the epistle. We think about the authority of the author. His calling here. chapter 1, verse 1, going back there to Colossians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, his calling. God had called Paul to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, to carry the message of the gospel to the Gentiles and the kings, the children of Israel. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we read, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Ambassadors for Christ. Carrying His message. That's what an ambassador does. He works in diplomacy. He carries the message of a government, his government, to another government. And carries that message of that government back to his own government again. An ambassador. And so we are ambassadors for Christ. What a calling. Each one of us has to carry the good news of the gospel. And let the world know the good news of salvation. That Jesus saves. That their lives can be changed. That there is hope in the gospel, and Paul speaks about that hope in the gospel here in writing to the Colossians. In the midst of hopelessness around this world, and what is being trotted out by so many in media circles today of hopelessness, yet there is hope. And that hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so Paul had this calling. This calling involved separation. We read in Romans 1 that he was separated unto the gospel of God. He was a separated man. Separated from the world and the flesh and the devil. We cannot be true to the Lord unless we are a separated people. Are you separated unto the gospel? Separated from worldly attractions and worldly allurements. From the things of time and sense that would so take up your mind and thoughts. Call involved separation. But then this calling involved being a servant. He was a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. He must serve the Master. He must heed His commands. He must do His bidding. He must submit himself to the Word of God in all things. And you know, my friends, there's a humility about being a servant. Paul must humble himself. And he did that. Though he was a very gifted man, a very intellectual man. A man who had great authority as far as his background was concerned. And his ability was concerned. Yet he had this humility of a servant. Remember, Christ Himself humbled Himself in becoming a servant. And we must do this also. Laying aside all pride and haughtiness of spirit. As the Lord said, "I am among you as he that serveth." Will you take your place alongside the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Apostle Paul. And many, many others. It's being a humble servant of Christ. That's what we are. We are servants of Christ. And then his calling was by the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Through the will of God. Paul knew the will of God for his life. And he was in the center of God's will. He walked in the will of God. He didn't go by feeling. He walked a walk of faith. But he walked according to the Word of God. And what he did in his life was according to God's will. How important it is for believers to know the will of God and to obey it. Well, people say to me today, "I feel I should do a certain thing. I've got this feeling. I've got this message that I should do this." My friend, where is the will of God? The will of God is in the Word of God.
And God reveals His will through His Word. Of course, God orders circumstances as well to fit in. It's not by feeling. It's through the Word of God. Feelings change. Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Not else is worth believing. How important it is to know God's will and to obey it. Do you know the will of God? If you do, are you willing to submit yourself to it, even today and in days to come? The authorship of the epistle. The authority of the author. Then I want you to think about the associate in the epistle. You see, in chapter 1, verse 1 of Colossians, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Notice that Paul associated with many in his epistles. There's a particular reason why Timothy should be associated with him in writing this epistle. He was a native of the region where the church was situated. Chapter 16 of Acts, verses 1 to 3. He had been with Paul when he had preached there and was doubtless well known to the church there. Acts 16, verse 6. It is evident, however, from the manner in which Paul mentions him here, that he did not regard him as an apostle. It says, Paul, an apostle. Notice the words carefully. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timotheus, our brother. It's not Paul and Timothy, apostles of Jesus Christ. But it is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And Timotheus, our brother. He was careful never to apply the term apostle to Timothy. Philippians 1 verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ. Again, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 1. You can check out these references to back up what I'm saying. If he had regarded Timothy as an apostle or as having apostolic authority, it's not easy to conceive why he should not have referred to him as such in these letters to the churches. Could he have failed to see that the manner in which he referred to him was adopted to produce a very important difference in the estimate in which he and Timothy would be held by the Colossians? And here is Timothy, a brother in Christ, a very important ministry to fulfill as far as the Lord's work was concerned in future days. He's considered here not an apostle, but a brother. He's a place. He has a role to fulfill. To become a minister of Christ and a servant of the Lord. And we all have a role to fulfill as far as the church of God is concerned. Within that body, to work and to labor in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to fulfill your role? Whatever that may be, as faithfully as Timothy was, willing to fulfill his in his day. But then we see the application of the epistle. You look here at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of this epistle were directed to those who were saved at Colossae. To those who were saved in this church. To those who made up this local congregation of God's people. You see, Paul wrote to churches. Of course, he wrote to individuals as well, as we've said earlier. But he did write to churches as John wrote to churches in the book of the Revelation. The churches in Asia. The seven churches that John wrote. There's a message for the church. And there's a message for the individuals within the church. Within the local assembly of God's people. So there's a message for you this morning. to those who are faithful to the cause of Christ. Make no mistake about it. Hear God's message today. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Don't turn your thoughts to other things. Don't think, well, this is for those people at Colossians so long ago, and it doesn't have a message for me in 2020. Of course it does. The Word of God is relevant in every age. Clear application of the truth of God would come by the Holy Spirit to your heart and mind today. The Word of God is applicable to you here as are the other Scriptures too. The Bible says, and listen to this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, not some Scripture, not most Scripture, not nearly all Scripture, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. It's God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine. That's for teaching. And we mentioned doctrine in relation to Colossians here, the teaching, the doctrine of this epistle. For reproof, we are reproved through Scripture. For correction, we are corrected through Scripture because we all make mistakes, we all sin, we all fail, we all falter. We have to be corrected. For instruction, how we need to be instructed in righteousness. In the things of God and the truth of Scripture. In the right ways of the Lord. You who are faithful brethren and sisters in Christ. Within the church of Christ. Many of you are faithful to the Lord. There's an application to your heart here. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, it says. And you'll notice that salutation there. It is common to all of Paul's epistles. He salutes those who are in the Lord and in the churches to whom he wrote. All those brethren and sisters in Christ, he salutes them. But there is an emphasis in the opening chapter of this book of Colossians on reconciliation by the blood. Those who were teaching error at Colossae at that time refused to give Christ his rightful place. But the Apostle Paul exalts the blessed Son of God. He puts him in that position of preeminence which he rightly occupies. You'll notice here the exaltation of Christ in the message preached. Verses 1 to 12 of this portion of Scripture, chapter 1 of Colossians. You see, the false teachers preached a message that it was not the Word of God, it was their own notions. And Paul the Apostle reviews the effect of the Gospel upon the people. And he is caused to give thanks to God, the God of heaven, for the work that had been wrought in the hearts of the people of God. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, and verses 15 and 16, Paul said this, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He gave thanks for the people of God and what the Lord had done for them. And we have cause to render thanks to the Lord for what the Lord has wrought in your hearts and in ours too. Render unceasing thanks to God, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Not only had he heard of their faith, but their love to all the saints. And Paul had been informed as to the character of their piety, that they had a remarkable love for all who bore the name of Christ. In John, in his first epistle, 1 John 3:14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Colossians 1 verse 8 speaks of love in the Spirit. And so here were a people who had been impacted upon by the message of the gospel. Their lives had been changed. They had been brought into union with Christ. A saving experience of Christ. And of course, there was clearly the evidence of the grace of God in their lives. Is there that evidence of grace in your life? Love in the Spirit? Your faith in Christ Jesus? As the Word of God says here, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, verse 4. He also prayed continually for them, praying always for you, verse 3. Paul, of course, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching in all supplication for all saints. For all saints. And so he lifted them up before the throne of grace. And how the people of God need to be prayed for in these days and always, of course. We ought to pray for one another that we might be strengthened, that we might be helped in our present circumstances, wherever we are in this world. How it is with us today before the Lord, we need to be prayed for. We need to be helped. That we might be enabled by the Spirit of God. And He held on to the horns of the altar on behalf of His people. Are you praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you praying for those of like precious faith? They had not only faith and love, but they had hope. Look at verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The evidence which he had that this hope was theirs was founded on the faith and love to the saints which he had heard that they avenged. He fully believed that there was this true faith and love. And therefore they had the hope of heaven. And the word hope here is used, as it often is, for the thing hoped for, the object of hope, eternal happiness, which was reserved for them in heaven. What a blessed hope that is for the believer in Christ. We look forward to that prospect. We look forward to the realization of being with Christ. In His presence, being with the Savior for all eternity. What a blessed hope that is for the future. And this word brought forth fruit in their lives. The Bible tells us here in verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God and truth. The message of the gospel so affected them that faith, love, and hope were clearly manifested. Even from the day they heard it, there had been that continual producing of fruit in their lives. Christ was exalted. They knew the grace of God and truth. Ever since they had heard the gospel, it began to grow in the things of God. Growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bringing forth fruit. You remember the words of John chapter 15 verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And that chapter, of course, in John 15 speaks about bringing forth fruit. It speaks about abiding in the vine. It speaks about more fruit and much fruit. Being fruit bearing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Joseph. He was that fruitful bough whose branches hung over the wall. Oh, may it be so with us today. Having come to Christ, having experienced the grace of God, the salvation purchased by Christ, that we will grow. That we will be strengthened. and grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Speaking to someone recently and how I was blessed by their spiritual growth. How they're reading the Word of God and searching the Scriptures daily. Listening to God's Word every opportunity they have. They're hearing messages. They're seeking the Scriptures. They're searching the Scriptures. Getting to know the Lord in a deeper and in a fuller way. And how that thrilled my soul to hear of that person. And to know and to see the evidence of their growth in the Lord. What about you today? Are you growing spiritually? Are you going on with God? And surely as we think about this church at Colossae, to whom Paul wrote, as we consider this book, and as we will in weeks ahead, consider it further, that we might grow in Christ, that we might become stronger in Him, and that we might know the fullness of His blessing upon our lives. But perhaps you don't know Christ today. You've never been saved. Never trusted in Him. Oh, that you might do so today. Time is short. You cannot listen to the news bulletins or read your newspapers or go on social media even without realizing how short time is. And how many young, middle-aged and old are being called out into eternity. The Bible says today it is time to seek the Lord. I trust you'll seek Him today. That you will know His salvation in your life. Let us pray. Father, bless Thy Word to every heart. And O God, we pray that Thou wilt speak through Thy Word to each one this day. We pray in Jesus' name. For God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning for our closing hymn to the hymn number 39 in our hymn book. You can turn in your hymn book to this hymn. And you will hear it sung now. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Number 39 on page 191 of our hymn book. Free Presbyterian Church this morning. Trust the Lord will bless the Word of God to your heart. If it can any help to you, please do contact us.
by telephone call or text. We're happy to speak to you and help you from God's Word at any time. Let us pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.